across five regions: Southeast Asia, the Middle East, Africa, Europe, and America. Some of the countries taking part include Indonesia, Malaysia, Brunei Darussalam, Thailand, Singapore, the Philippines, Iran, Syria, Pakistan, Afghanistan, India, Bangladesh, Kuwait, Turkey, Yemen, and Palestine. From Africa, participants come from Egypt, Libya, Tanzania, Mauritania, Guinea, Kenya, Central Africa, Nigeria, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Somalia, Chad, Cameroon, Burkina Faso, Guinea-Bissau, and Mozambique. Meanwhile, from Europe, participants come from the Netherlands, Russia, Sweden, and Italy. From America, there is participant from Canada. The second news. As a total as 45 container trucks of aid from Indonesia, People for Palestine distributed by the Indonesian National Board of Zakat arrived in Gaza on Tuesday. These container trucks of humanitarian assistance were sent through Rafah in collaboration with Egyptian humanitarian agencies by Zakat Wa As-Sadaqat and Sunnah Al-Haya. Head of the Basnas, Nur Ahmad, through a statement in Jakarta on Thursday, conveyed this aid is expected to ease the burdens of brothers and sisters in Palestine. He also detailed that the aid which was sent carried more than 50,000 cartons of packages containing various basic needs such as noodles, rice beans, cheese, canned tuna, biscuits, juice boxes, flour sauces, and dates. He mentioned that the aid of 45 container trucks is the first step because it will be followed by the next shipment of aid, with up to hundreds of trucks that will be channeled through Basnas partners in Egypt. If possible, Basnas will build a public kitchen and health service in Gaza. The third news. Indonesia Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati has ensured that social assistance funds are not affected by the budget efficiency directive requested by President Prabowo Subianto. At BRI Microfinance Outlook 2025 in Tangerang, Banten on Thursday, she pointed out that the state spending target in fiscal year 2025 reached 3,621.3 trillion rupiah to optimize the ceiling of state expenditure. The government made budget adjustments to be sharper and more efficient based on President Prabowo's instruction to ministries and institutions. The efficiency aims at ensuring that the state budget can really be directly enjoyed by the community. In contrast, various other budget items have been adjusted, such as official travel, stationery, and various ceremonial activities that do not have a direct impact on the community. Previously, she further issued a letter ordering ministries or institutions to carry out budget efficiency on 16 expenditure items. The fourth news. Indonesia Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman said that the rice production in January until March 2025 is predicted to increase by 50%. He also explained that the data was obtained from the Central Bureau of Statistics, on which in January 2025, it increased by 50% compared to last year and is predicted to increase by 49% in February and 51% in March 2025. In a press conference at the Ministry of Agriculture office in Jakarta on Thursday, he pointed out that the data owned by the Bureau is in accordance with the facts that occur in the field. According to him, along with the increasing amount of rice production, the Ministry of Agriculture and Central Statistics Agency have just established cooperation in order to strengthen agricultural data. Minister Amran also explained that with the signing of a memorandum of understanding, all agricultural data can only be issued by the Bureau. Acting head of the Central Statistics Agency, Amalia Adininger Widyasanti, conveyed that the collaboration between Central Statistics Agency and the Ministry of Agriculture is an important moment to support the formulation of development policies, especially in agriculture. The fifth news. Indonesia Minister of Cooperatives Budi Aristiadi explained that during the 100 working days in their red and white cabinet, he focused on increasing public confidence so that they would want to cooperate. Therefore, he considers cooperatives to be a constitutional instrument to improve people's welfare. In Jakarta on Thursday, he explained that cooperatives are constitutional instruments for people to do business and improve welfare. He further said during the 100 working days in President Prabowo's administration, several cooperative strengthening programs have been carried out by his side. The programs include rebranding cooperatives, assisting the free nutritious meal program, and revitalizing cooperatives, launching a new logo, and institutional structuring. The sixth news. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Political and Security Affairs Budi Gunawan conveyed that his office has provided legal assistance to ministries, state-owned enterprises, and regional-owned enterprises to avoid corrupt practices and financial governance internal policies that can trigger corrupt practices. In the official press release of the Coordinating Ministry for Political and Security Affairs broadcast on Thursday, he explained the assistance was provided by the Coordinating Desk for Corruption Prevention and Governance Improvement formed by the Coordinating Minister for Political and Security Affairs. Since the desk was formed, there have been 2,164 legal items of assistance provided to various ministries, state-owned enterprises, and regional-owned enterprises. The total of 2,164 includes 91 legal opinions provided to state-owned enterprises and regional-owned enterprise to ensure that every policy and business decision is in line with the regulation. This is in line with President Prabowo Subianto's order asking that corruption eradication focuses not only on case disclosure, but also prevention efforts. And the final news. The ambassador of the Kingdom of Thailand to Indonesia, Prapan Disyathat, expressed his desire to strengthen people-to-people contact with Indonesia, along with the 75th anniversary of diplomatic relations of both countries. Ambassador Prapan at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Thursday pointed out that this year is a very important year for Thailand and Indonesia. It is an opportunity to reflect on long-term relation and also look forward to further strengthen ties between the two countries. The statement was made by the Thai ambassador at the launch of the logo for the 75th anniversary of Indonesia-Thailand diplomatic relations at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Ambassador Prapan expected that Thailand and Indonesia were able to establish closer cooperation. One of the efforts to be strengthened is through people-to-people contacts of both countries. To materialize it, this year, the World Thai Embassy plans to organize a cultural show in collaboration with the Indonesia Ministry of Foreign Affairs. According to him, the event will not only show Thailand's desire to improve dialogue, but also provide an opportunity for the people in the two countries to appreciate and deepen their understanding of each other's culture and see what they have in common. And that was Newsline.
Voice of Indonesia.
Here is today's commentary on Chinese New Year in Indonesia, celebrating unity in diversity. I'm Dalat Pane. The Chinese New Year 2576 Kongzili was celebrated by Indonesian Confucians and those observing the holiday on Wednesday, January 29. In Indonesia, the celebration is not only a moment of joy for Confucians, but also a symbol of unity and harmony within the nation's diversity. In a Chinese New Year greeting video broadcast on official YouTube channel of the Supreme Council for Confucian in Indonesia, Foreign Minister Sugiono encouraged the public to uphold harmony, tolerance, and unity values that form the foundation of Indonesia's strength. The Chinese New Year celebration serves as a reminder that within diversity lies the power to build a strong national identity. Beyond joy, the holiday also carries profound humanitarian values. In Central Java, for instance, three Confucian inmates received special sentence reductions as a recognition of their right to observe their traditions and beliefs. This reflects Indonesia's commitment to respecting human rights and providing opportunities for individuals to start a new life. Meanwhile, various regions in Indonesia also used the celebration to support local economies. Jakarta hosted the Chinatown Festival at Taman Mini Indonesia Indah. In Singkawang, West Kalimantan, A cultural arts performance and expo was held at Kridasana Stadium, featuring local micro, small and medium enterprises products since January 27. These events, which actively involve local businesses, demonstrate how Indonesia celebrates diversity through culinary and local products while promoting its unique creative economy. Chinese New Year in Indonesia is more than just a celebration. It serves a reminder for Indonesian people to strengthen unity and harmony amid differences. That was commentary.
Listener, here is today in history. Let's start with one of the biggest maritime disasters in history, the Wilhelm Gustloff tragedy. Originally built as a cruise ship in 1937, the Wilhelm Gustloff was later used to evacuate German refugees during World War II. On the night of January 30, 1945, it was carrying thousands of civilians, wounded soldiers and crew when a Soviet submarine S-13 fired torpedoes at it. The ship sank in the freezing waters of the Baltic Sea. An estimated 9,400 people died, making it one of the deadliest shipwrecks ever recorded. Now let's go back to January 30, 1948, the day Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated. Gandhi was a leader who changed the course of history, not with weapons, but with peace. He led India's fight for independence through non-violent resistance, inspiring movements all over the world. But not everyone agreed with his views. On this day, he was shot by Nathuram Godse, a Hindu nationalist who believed Gandhi was too supportive of Muslims. His death was a great loss, but his message of peace and unity lives on. Finally, today is Indonesia's Primate Day. Did you know Indonesia is home to some of the world's most unique primates? Orangutans, tarsiers, and many other species live in its forests. But sadly, many of them are threatened by illegal hunting and habitat loss. That's why, in 2014, a conservation group called Pro Fauna Indonesia established January 30th as Primate Day. It's a reminder that these amazing creatures play a big role in keeping nature balanced. Protecting them means protecting the forest they call home. Well, listener, that's all for today in history.
Tak sanggup ku lupakan. Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, our segment My Indonesia for today has a topic: forest carbon program in East Kalimantan enters final phase. Ministry of Environment or Environmental Control Agency said the Forest Carbon Partnership Facility Carbon Fund Climate Finance Program implemented in East Kalimantan Province is entering its final phase and awaiting final payment from the World Bank. In a statement received in Jakarta on Tuesday, Director of Climate Change Mitigation at the Ministry of Environment or Environmental Control Agency, Irawan Asad Dari, explained that the Forest Carbon Partnership Facility Carbon Fund Program is a global initiative managed by the World Bank. The program aims to reduce greenhouse gas emissions through sustainable forest management with a focus on performance-based financing for activities to reduce emissions from deforestation and forest degradation or REDD+. He also said that the Forest Carbon Partnership Facility Carbon Fund Program had secured an advance payment in 2022 of $20.9 million, equivalent to an emission reduction of 4.18 million tons of carbon dioxide equivalent. Referring to the Emission Reductions Payment Agreement or ERPA contract document of the Forest Carbon Partnership Facility Carbon Fund, the program's emission reduction target reaches 22 million tons of the carbon dioxide equivalent, with total incentives provided reaching $110 million. Thus, Indonesia still has the opportunity to get RBP REDD+ incentive funds amounting to $89.1 million. To get the remaining RBP REDD+ incentive funds, according to Asad Dari, there are still several document and reporting requirements that must be fulfilled, especially those related to safeguards. The East Kalimantan Provincial Government itself has held a workshop to discuss the results of the document review and safeguard reporting conducted by the World Bank, as well as to obtain input for improvement on 23rd up to 24th January 2025 in Samarinda. Related to this, the Assistant for Economic and Development Administration of East Kalimantan Province, Ujang Rahmat, conveyed that currently the financing for activities related to the Forest Carbon Partnership Facility Carbon Fund uses the provincial regional budget because the budget from the advance payment fund is insufficient. In the same statement, Franca Braun, the World Bank's lead environment specialist for Indonesia and Timor Leste, who attended the workshop in Samarinda, expressed her appreciation for the effort and achievements made by the Ministry of Environment and East Kalimantan Province team to meet the document and reporting requirements related to the safeguard program. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Some of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcasts in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, today we would like to introduce you to Ogogan, a unique art from Tabanan region in Bali. Ogogan is a large wooden musical instrument resembling a giant bell, used as a means of communication by communities in remote villages. A smaller version of this instrument called keroncongan is often got placed on trees to scare off animals that damage coconut plants. And it also uses as a collar for livestock such as cows and buffalo. The name Ogogan comes from the sound it made, klop, 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 which is how it got its name. Listeners, Ogogan is considered a sacred art form. It is performed when the community faces an outbreak of diseases, known locally as gerubu. Traditionally, to combat the illness, people would leave their homes and play percussion instruments like the kan kentongan or slit drum, ogogan, and tek-tekan. Tabanan people believe that the sound produced by these instruments can drive away the source of disease affecting the community. Because of this, Ogogan is regarded as a sacred tradition. It is often performed during times of crisis such as crop failures or disease outbreaks. Ogogan is played by a group of people as they walk through the village. In addition to its religious significance, Ogogan is also performed during special events such as the Bali Arts Festival, and is sometimes used to entertain guests who wish to experience traditional Balinese culture. During these performances, Ogogan is often accompanied by other Balinese local instruments such as the gong, kendang, tawa-tawa, and more, which enhance and complement its unique sound. And that was today's Indonesian Wonder.
Hadir dalam hidupku yang redup, kau mengubah semua jalanku, hari-hari kau denganku. Kini kau aku percaya untuk melengkapi hidupku, dan kau mampu yakinkan semua yang ku cari, yang ku mau. Kali ini akan kau ungkapkan semuanya kepadamu, segala baca yang telah ku simpan kepadamu, kepadamu. Kau temani diriku dan kau ku temani selamanya, oh sayangku, karena kau adalah diriku dan ku adalah dirimu. Kita satu, ku inginkan dirimu dan kau inginkan diriku selalu. Setiap waktu kau tulang rusukku,
hidupku. Dan kau mampu yakinkan semua yang ku cari, yang ku mau. Kali ini akan ku buktikan semuanya kepadamu.
Still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program we present to you, Miss Lily.
Miss Lily today is featuring researching food packaging from rambutan peel. Indonesian student wins international awards. Widya Stuti Perdani of the Doctoral Program in Food Sciences, Faculty of Agricultural Technology, University of Gajah Mada, Yogyakarta, won the Best Presentation Award at the 10th International Conference on Composite Materials and Materials Engineering, or ICCMME 2025. It took place from January the 8th until 10th at Yonsei University, Seoul, South Korea, and was attended by participants from 19 countries, including Germany, Japan, the United States, and Canada. Organized by the South Asia Institute of Science and Engineering, ICCMME 2025 is a collaboration between Yonsei University, South Korea, and Sichuan University, China. On this occasion, the Indonesian student presented a paper entitled Pectin and Chitosan Biofilm Composites Enriched with Rambutan Peel Anthocyanins for Colorimetric Intelligence Food Packaging, which is part of her dissertation study. The research focuses on the development of intelligent food packaging using anthocyanins from rambutan peel as sensitive dyes in pectin and chitosan biopolymer matrices. ICCMME 2025 consists of various sessions, including presentation from keynote speakers such as Professor Ikuo Taniguchi from Kyoto Institute of Technology, Japan, and Professor Kibong Lee from Korea University, South Korea. Arum Widya Stuti Perdani participated in the materials chemistry and chemical engineering session and received input from Professor Ikuo Taniguchi to improve the tensile strength of biofilms in her further research. As part of the conference, she also had the opportunity to participate in a laboratory visit and campus tour at Yonsei University's Faculty of Engineering. The paper she presented will be published in the Key Engineering Materials Journal, or Scopus Q4, which is one of the requirements for graduating from her doctoral program. Through the development of biofilm-based packaging as an effort to encourage innovation in environmentally friendly technology, Arun's research certainly supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals. That was Ms. Seleni over Voice of Indonesia.
Well,
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi, listener. Today, I'm going to talk about a song by Chrisye. Chrisye started his music career in the 1960s. Throughout his journey, he received many awards, including the BASF Award in 1993, the STTV Lifetime Achievement Award in 2007, and he was named the third best musician of all time by Rolling Stone Indonesia in 2011. He had many hit songs, and one of them is Untukku. This song is a part of the album Kala Cinta Menggoda, which was released in 1997. Untukku talks about love in all of its form, not only romance and moments of sadness, but also optimism and commitment to someone special. It expresses deep belief in a relationship and unwavering loyalty. And now, let's listen to Chrisye with Untukku.
Makna nurani kau takkan pernah terganti. Saat lautan kau seberang, janganlah ragu bersaung. Ku percaya hati kecilku tak takkan berpaling. Walau ke ujung dunia, pastinya kan ku nanti. Meski ketujuh samudra, hati ku kan menunggu. Karena ku yakin kau hanya untukku. Kemana langkah ku pergi, selalu ada bayangmu. Yakin makna nurani kau takkan pernah terganti. Pandanglah bintang berpijar, kau tak pernah tersembunyi. Di mana engkau berada, di sana cintaku. Walau ke ujung dunia, pasti meski ketujuh samudra, hatiku kan menunggu. Karena ku yakin kau
Voice of Indonesia.
Much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at @voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now. Thank you.
Radio Jiatao, Voice of Indonesia 的华语节目。本台播送来自印度尼西亚的新闻、信息和娱乐。您能每天通过短波频率3325千赫和4755千赫。本台的网站 www.voinews.id/mandarin 的流媒体直播以及 RRI Digital 应用程序收听本台的节目 Voice of Indonesia 从印度尼西亚面向世界。听众朋友您好，我们有在 Voice of Indonesia 播送的一个首次的华语节目相逢，我 Nova 祝你顺利健康。本期周四的节目有新闻、评论、历史上的今天、印度尼西亚国和播送印度尼西亚各种各样的消息以及娱乐，在 Persona Indonesia 印度尼西亚每日一和无言流逝节目，最后是为您播送以你怀旧歌曲。听众朋友接下来请各位收听本台播送的新闻。听众朋友接下来请各位收听播报新闻。新闻提要：第一，印尼工商会主席向普拉博传达了印尼、印度首席执行官和商业论坛的成果。第二，布拉沃总统恭祝你2576年恭祝你中国农历新年快乐。第三，国际酒宴组织与印度合作，加强卫生工作值和卫生服务的能力。第四，穆海明的目标是在一月底将完成单一社会经济数据统计。第五，交通部长要求交通服务加强对极端天气的预防。第六，法子理论印尼文化一定能够影响世界。第七，总统府表示公众的满意度激发了政府更好的工作的热情。听众朋友，接下来请各位收听播报新闻内容。印尼工商会主席安尼亚诺菲安巴克里以及搭档印度工业联合会主席阿杰希兰向总统普拉博苏比安多和印度总理Narendra Modi 传达了印尼印度首席执行官论坛的结果。印尼外交部长 Sugiono 和印度外交部长 Subramaniam Jaisankar 代表两国政府接受了首席执行官论坛成果两届备忘录联合声明文件。Anindya Novian Bakri 1本月29日周三在雅加达发表的书